This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I am here in studio with that snack, Poly Cupcakes.
In studio with my new jersey t-shirt. It's actually Vrana, so it's a bit of a relic.
Yeah, getting them on sale, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and you know, now it's, you know, showing love to the boy.
Absolutely.
I'm happy with the trade, but still love him.
Definitely. Well, Caps fans, we are actually, this will be our Thursday episode. We have a great interview with Andrew from the Short Shift podcast. He's repping the Boston Bruins. But first off, we need to tell you about our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. The hits literally keep on coming from one boxing event to the next. They grow in excitement and anticipation. And this weekend is no different. With two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the ring Saturday night, there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all new users a shot at turning $1 into $55. To celebrate the weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering new users the opportunity to get 55-1 odds on either a main event fighter to win on either main event fighter to win this weekend's fight. That's bet $1, and if the fighter of your choice wins, you win $55. Plus, with basketball and hockey playoffs right around the corner, DraftKings Sportsbook has even more ways for you to make it rain. DraftKings Sportsbook is safe, secure, and reliable, meaning you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering the chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app. Use code THPN. Again, that is DraftKings Sportsbook. Code THPN. Do it. Thank us later.
Thank us later.
Absolutely. Well, Polly, I'm excited to get Andrew on the feed, so I say we pop some tabs and get it going, huh?
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
All right, here he
is. What up?
Andrew himself from the Short Shift podcast, man. We did a bit of a guest spot, about a month and a half ago, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say it was about 6 weeks ago. Yeah. You guys have been my favorite guest on the Short Shift because y'all know your shit and you know how to chirp. My two favorite things.
I bet you say that to all the podcasts.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
only the ones I want to take back to the bedroom later.
Oh yeah. All right.
I think we were on when we were previewing the second Caps Bruins
series. Yeah.
Series.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
And this is post a couple Caps wins against the Bruins, but we do have you the last game on our schedule. Is that also the last game for your schedule for this season?
That is correct. Yep, that is the last game of the year. And with any luck, it's basically going to be Hershey versus Providence.
I mean, at this point, yeah. I mean, let's get right into it. I guess, what does that – I mean, what are you seeing – what's your take on the Caps right now with all the injuries? I mean, you guys have been an ambulance, it seems like, for the majority of the season. Is that right?
We – at one point, and the game before the Taylor Hall acquisition, we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
When you guys fucking mollywhooped us 8-1, we were down to our top pairing was Jared Tenorti and Jack Eichon, who had Jack Eichon, he of less than 10 games of both minor pro and pro experience. He was our number 13 defenseman on the depth chart.
Jeez. And yep. Who's out then? Was it McAvoy still in, isn't he? Or is he out?
McAvoy's in. Carlo has been out for a while, unrelated to the Tom Wilson hit. He got hurt again.
Right.
Kevin Miller's been in and out with his knee. We're terrified that he's going to break his knee again. Our defense has been sort of just a rotation of walking wounded, but we're getting bodies back just in time. Mike Riley has solidified our top four, which is a sentence I never thought I would say about any NHL team about 2 years ago.
Right.
But he's come in and he's been a wagon for us. He has solidified the back end and on our second pair. And that's allowed McAvoy and Grizzlick to go hog wild. And yeah. As for you guys, I mean, it doesn't help that Ovechkin has been kind of in and out.
Right.
The Anthony Mantha trade's been all right for you guys. I still think you lost that one, but who am I? I like Jakub Vrána better than Anthony Mantha. Shout out to your Scherzi there, Poly Cupcakes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I know I have to justify this, and we've been rounds on Twitter about it, but we had Panic, who I like. I like that guy as a player. He's a great player. I think he's a solid fourth, third line guy.
Yeah, useful fourth line roster player.
Yeah, but
guys you need. He's a guy you need.
He's not the type of guy who's going to come in and light up 20 goals or maybe even 10. And so having a guy like that with the hefty contract, which was pre-COVID, you know, the Caps gave that out very early. You know, they didn't really know. I mean, who would have known that there was going to be a pandemic, right? Global pandemic at that. You know, they did that. And for the Red Wings, they had cap space and yeah, we had to give up the first for it.
So, okay. I have to confirm something with you guys. Was it true that Nick Foligno was McClellan's first target? And then when he went to the Maple Leafs, McClellan kind of went, Mantha.
He was definitely being passed around on the old interest board, that's for sure. And I think that he was probably very high. I also think Nick Foligno would have been an incredible fit, maybe a little bit more of a top end. But when you're going to deal a young player for an older one, I'm glad we kind of went for – we didn't win that and got – Mantha. I like the guy.
I think ultimately, if Mantha and Foligno was the choice, you guys got the better one, because I was actually on the Cannons and Tomahawks podcast last week.
Okay.
And Alex Nuttall said, and I quote, "I'm so glad that we duped Kyle Dubas into taking Foligno for a first." So it sounds like y'all dodged a bullet there.
Well,
Mantha is a better fit stylistically for you guys, but I like Vrána more as a player.
Sure. I mean, Verona's got that explosive power and whatnot, and he's got the gifted release, but I think that Mantha has a lot of that, as well, you know, and he's also a way bigger body. So maybe getting him ingrained in the Caps culture where everybody's got to bang a little bit, might be a good change for him.
He's a better fit with Lobby too. I don't think Lobby liked Vrána very much.
No, and as a matter of fact, no Caps coach liked Vrána. You know, Barry Trotz didn't like him. His coach in Hershey didn't like him. I mean,
is it a work ethic issue? Is it a freewheeling issue? What is it with him? Because I think he's supremely talented, and he's definitely shown it in Detroit so far.
You know what? That's a great question. Because no, all the media, like Russian Machine Never Breaks, and everybody are saying, like, you know, we're getting the coaches have cited that it is a defensive responsibility and playing both sides of the puck more.
So Alexander Semin, part two.
Right, but yeah, maybe not as talented. I think Semin was, you know, Semin was close to a 50 goal
scorer. Semin was a 40 goal scorer, so, right. But it's like a diet Semin. There you go.
Yeah. Dollar store brand. Well, we won't go that far, but. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, Paulie, and the thing with Vrána is, and when you hang your hat on being able to score every couple games, even multiple goal games, and you aren't scoring 11, 13 games in a row, I mean, you know, where are you hanging your hat now? And if you're not going to make up for that with raw effort and back checking. Cause you know, he's got the speed to shut it down on the other way back, you know, without the puck. It's not like the puck gives you, wheels, right? I mean, Paulie, you know that.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty slow with the puck. But me too. Yeah, I mean, I think Vrana is great, but like you said, Mantha just fits better into the system. The Caps, it doesn't show as of recent games, but the Caps don't necessarily need another goal specific guy. So getting a guy like Mantha, I think, beefs up the defensive side, and he can contribute enough that he's still valuable on the offensive side. But the Caps just have so much firepower that a guy who is a scoring specialist without the defense isn't what they need.
Yeah, and you got to think he's a he's a left wing. Vrana is an exclusive left wing. Mm-hmm. If he thinks that he's going to take Ovi's crown and be a top line left winger when Ovi's in the lineup, you know, I mean, now that Ovi's out of the lineup, yeah, he probably would have fit in great. But, no, I mean, that's never gonna fucking happen. And, with how generally uninjured Ovi is, it's, you know, probably his whole career would be spent kind of in that shadow. So moving him and giving him that different change of scenery with a different coach who's gonna let him freewheel a little bit, maybe not, you know, shit on him so hard on a team that's really going nowhere.
Well, to be fair, Jeff Blashill is at the point now in his tenure where he's like, fuck it, sure, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't give a fuck. Like,
right.
Somebody fire me, please.
And that's a great point. And you know, I mean, how far are the Red Wings away from being able to contend? Are we, you know, unfortunately, you know, when we took the pick of Mantha, and we're going to give him a shot at a cup today. Vrana may have to wait 3 or 4 years.
I do think that the Red Wings jumped their rebuild by about a year with that acquisition, though. I think Vrana can be a centerpiece in there.
Oh, yeah. I think that, no doubt.
Keeps playing the way he's playing.
Right. And
because what you're saying sounds an awful lot like what we're going through right now with Jake DeBrusk.
Fair. And just to circle back around, was he about the time when Vrana was getting scratched, healthy scratched, was when McClellan picked up the phone and started courting Yzerman. So, or at least that's what the media has been saying. So I don't know. It's tough to say when exactly that happened. I know Foligno has been probably a part of their long-term target, but I'm glad we went for a young player for young player. Yeah. To be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why you probably had to give up a useful fourth line depth player and two high round draft picks. Which, right. To be fair, with your playoff positioning is probably going to be like true lotto tickets rather than useful draft picks.
Exactly. So. Right. I mean, who knows what that first round? I mean, you're talking about proven NHL talent versus, like you said, a lottery pick. You know, basically names in a hat. I mean, it's going to help.
Especially with this draft. This draft, anybody who has been stockpiling capital in this draft is absolutely clueless. Hi, Buffalo Sabres.
Right. Absolutely.
And no, the Senators. And,
yeah, the Sens, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. The Sens at least had the good sense to snatch a third from us in the 2022 draft.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it was a move that management saw needed to be done, and they just pulled the trigger. I mean, it was a shock to us, I'll say. I mean, I don't think a month before the draft or the month before the deadline, I was thinking Verona's on any sort of chopping block. We're thinking he's a, you know, solidified second line left winger. He's going to be the 1-2 punch, you know, those two lines, but it just didn't happen. And, you know, honestly, we gave him a chance to excel somewhere else. So I'm happy for the player, for both players, really.
He's doing it to his credit. He's doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even with all the scratching, he was still 25 points in 39 games. It's nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
And then he goes to Detroit and he scored 6 goals in 8 games. So
Yeah, but four of them were in, what, one game? Yeah. Come on. I mean, and it was a blowout. Like, you know, that's a great stat. No, I mean, not to detract from it, but Mantha's three goals in a row were useful goals that we needed to win the game, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. those were game-changing goals. And for three games, not just one, where it was already like a, I think they won like 7-something else, some, high to low.
Right? That definitely shows Verona's talent that you pop 4-1.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
And then the shootout goal he scored the other night.
Yeah. Dirty. Yeah. I mean, let's not harp on Verona too much longer because look,
I just thought it was a really interesting trade because especially in this pandemic times, you know, I believe less than 40 players moved at the trade deadline, which is a by far record for least
right.
in like at least the last like 20 years.
Sure.
But that trade coming in at the 3:15 in the fax machine backlog of the NHL offices right. was something else. So
sure.
Yeah.
Probably, mm-hmm. you know, making headlines for sure.
When I saw the alert, my jaw literally dropped. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, enough about Verona here. I guess
we're done with Verona.
Would you have liked to have Chara on your team during this kind of revolving door?
Jesus fucking Christ. I have to do this.
You got your punches in. Now it's our turn.
Yeah. So I said this earlier in the year, and it was only slight hyperbole. Jared Tenorti could play 35 minutes a night for the rest of the year, and I would still think moving on from Zdeno Chara was the correct move.
Ooh. Do you hold by it? You still stand by that?
Yes, I do. Because, okay, Don Sweeney made it abundantly clear that he wanted Jeremy Lazan, Jakub Zboril, Connor Clifton all to be getting minutes.
Sure.
He didn't want to block them. And I think he viewed this year as a year where he sees exactly where the young guys are, because next year we have $30 million in cap space with most of the core still intact.
Wow. I did not know that. Fuck.
Don Sweeney is a cap magician. He gets a lot of shit around here for his drafting acumen, for some of his questionable trades, for which he's had some. But if there's one thing he's good at, it's stretching a dollar.
Yeah, sounds like
Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak combined are signed for less than Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the Blackhawks are on off their fucking rocker after riding so high.
Exactly. Well, Stan Bowman was like, you just write your name on the check and we'll do the rest.
Yeah, exactly. And Blackhawk fans are ruining that decision, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But Don Sweeney wanted to see what he had. In Jeremy Lazan, he has a solid stay-at-home young defenseman who is taking on a Chara role a little bit as the season goes on. He's basically turning into a coach on the ice, which is huge for a young defenseman. Jakub Zboril still has top four upside, but he still needs to work on some things, namely not treating the puck like a grenade with a pin out. Connor Clifton needs to not take three penalties in a period. I don't know if you guys saw that game for the a couple weeks ago against the Caps against the Bruins when he took three penalties in one period.
Yeah.
Did you remember? Yeah. That guy, he's I call him a yellow lab. He plays like a yellow lab on the ice. He's fast. He's energetic. He's ball. But he's like the yellow lab that flunked out of behavioral school because he pissed on all the walls. Like, so we definitely know what we have in Connor Clifton. We definitely know what we have in Jeremy Lazan. We don't quite know what we have in Jakub Zboril, but we still have hope.
Yeah, the ceiling's high on him for sure.
Exactly. So he's had a pretty good year for you guys.
Yes.
It sounds to me like Lavi kind of really protects his minutes. Am I off base in that?
He gets good deployments. And, you know, obviously, whenever you have a legend like that on your team, you're kind of the media spin is always he's such a great teacher. He's a great presence. Right. But I mean,
and you know there, this. And you know what? Nobody can possibly deny Chara's acumen. The exactly. dude thinks the game better than most have ever done it. In combination with his size and his physicality, he can still play.
Oh yeah.
I will never, ever disagree with moving on from a 43-year-old defenseman who looked cooked even before the bubble.
Fair. And
he kind of had a chip on his shoulder entering this year. So people have to take that in mind too.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I mean, he had something to prove, right? He knew, and in the pressers, they all said, like, you know, nothing's guaranteed in DC. He came out and said that, and he wanted to prove, I think he wanted to show Sweeney, like, fuck you, dude. I still have a couple good more years. And I'm buying into the whole leadership, quote unquote leadership, right? That he does show.
Do you think intangibles are overrated, or do you think they have a place?
Oh my, listen, before Caps Chirp was Caps Chirp, he had a Hockey Troll podcast. And every time he said the words leadership or intangibles, it was leadership, intangibles.
Right.
So, yes, he does think it's overrated until he fell in love with Chara.
Well, yeah, until I saw it. I mean, here's
until
the thing.
Until it benefits you.
Exactly. Well, you know, our biggest rival, we've got Sidney Crosby over here, could be a minus 30 and take 10 fucking penalties and score on his own net three times. And people would be like, oh, you know, such a great leader, though. Like, what the fuck does that do for you, you know?
Or he can have an Alexander Ovechkin that year he was coached by Adam Oates and be a minus 42.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that like,
and well, he's a good leader. He's a leader on the ice. He's the greatest goal scorer to ever live. Which, by exactly. the way, he is.
Yeah, he is. And to your point, I mean, he leads, quote unquote, by example. You know, he leads by example. And there's guys that are like that. There's guys that are vocal. I mean, whatever. You know, I've been playing hockey since I was 12, so like, I understand like the different dynamics in the room and shit. But like, obviously not at the NHL level, but you know, I mean, I get that. Sure? There's yeah, I'm definitely sure of that.
We watch a lot of games.
We watch a lot of hockey, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, there you go.
I'm buying into it. And then another guy on our blue line who's really kind of stepped up and has been paired with Chara almost exclusively is Nick Jensen, who we were high on acquiring him. He's cheap.
I've always been a fan of Nick Jensen. I've always been a fan of Nick Jensen. He's an analytics darling. He's a defensive analytics darling, and he flies under the radar. Yeah. Jensen and Chara, that's a damn good pairing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. And that gives, when you have, you know, basically a Kodiak Bear as your defensive partner, you know, he's staying at home and doing his job. That gives Nick Jensen, who has really broken out of his shell and been a puck mover, that he can be, you know, I think that was always in his repertoire, but he never really had the full confidence or freedom. And then you have him starting to contribute very nicely on the front end. So it's a good pairing. I think we're playoff ready with those two. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I'm going to turn this back on you guys. You asked me a question. Now it's my turn.
Whose show do you think this is?
Say that again.
Whose show do you think this is?
It's both our shows now, bitch.
It's going off the rails.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But I actually am legitimately curious.
Yeah. Fire away.
Y'all trust your goaltending going into the playoffs? Yeah. No. See.
With the cards that we were dealt. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be great to have Hank.
With the cards you were dealt, sure. All things equal, though.
I'm happy we didn't move for a veteran goaltender at trade deadline, because I was not impressed with the stock that was available. Like Bernier.
Dubnyk would have been nice.
Yeah, but we had to pay through the nose for him.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm glad that Vitek got a chance to show he's an NHL goalie. I think he would have
if Hank was in, because Samsonov would have been his backup or his 1B.
Exactly. Right? Samsonov has been the Caps' golden boy. It was handed to him, and Vitek has come in and been reliable when Samsonov wasn't there, and even when Samsonov is there, he's competing very well.
Yeah. No, and you know, both goalies have had their detractors, right? Samsonov gives up the mind-blowingly and infuriatingly soft goal every once in a while. He's leaky at times, but man, he makes up for it with the play reading and the ability to shut down the absolutely, you know, should be automatic plays. I mean, he's come up with some Tim Bell saves that are amazing. I mean, that's stuff that you see from, you know, top three goalies in the league. And then you have Vitek, who has struggled with rebound control and is a bit smaller framed and plays a little bit more of a compact game. So it's two style variations, I think. I think that teams may have quite, I mean, the book's out on both of them right now, I would say.
Sure. Sam. Yep. Yep.
But I think that both teams have to prepare differently for who's going to be in the net. You know, it's hard to beat Sammy side to side. And then it's pretty hard to beat Vitek as well. But, you know, so coming from basically get the screen up in front of Sammy to make Vitek move and then put the shot on and clean up rebounds, right? So it's a bit of a different play style.
Yeah, you know, I, you know, they could surprise me. I don't necessarily think they're a Stanley Cup tandem at this point. I mean, maybe.
As far as being able to carry teams to it. Yeah.
But I think if this system... Yeah, that's it.
You went exactly where I wanted you to go on that one.
Yeah, I mean, so if they continue with this alternating two-headed monster, I think 2 years from now, they will be hands down best duo in the league. Yeah. Who knows if they continue that, but right now... they each might be able to steal a game here or there, but if they're going to win a cup, it's going to come from the five guys in front of them.
Yeah. And if I may pontificate a little bit, I think
$10 word there, trolling.
Yeah.
I think that, and I have this rule, right? So every Stanley Cup winning team must have their goalie in the run, in the, you know, what, 16 games that they have to play. The goalie needs to steal four. So that could all happen in the first round and the team figures it out. But basically per series they play, I think that the goalie needs to be the MVP reason that that team won the game. So he needs to essentially steal that four games per run for a cup winning team.
Per 16 wins. So one out of every four wins needs to be a steal for a goaltender.
Yeah. And those can come, you know, all in the first round. And then he plays solid through the rest of the rounds, right? Or two in one round, right? I'm not saying that it has to be per series one or more. But I think that if you can have a goaltending tandem that can, and, you know, again, we're talking tandem here because that's how they've been deployed with Sammy and Vitek.
Well, and that's how playoffs teams now go with it nowadays. It used to be you ride one to the end until he either gets into the promised land or he falls down and dies.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that, you know, your goalie core, your tandem, so split between them. Do I think that each of them could steal two games in a cup winning run? Yes, I do. Yeah. I do think that.
You know, and that's how Dallas made the cup. I think the only reason they beat Colorado – is because Dobby stole
the only reason games. They beat Colorado is because Anton Khudobin went god mode for a couple of games.
I think he stole that entire series.
Yeah,
and except there may have been one blowout for the Stars, but aside from that, that's the only reason they made the cup was because of Dobby.
By the way, Pauly, that's Boston Bruins great. Anton Khudobin. Respect. Respect that name.
Yeah. How long was he there?
Two different stints.
He
was there for a year. His first time, he came up through the Wild system. We acquired him. He played decently, went off to Carolina, came back to us, played well, and we let him go to Dallas.
Interesting. And yep. I'm sure that all the Tuukka Rask haters are very much rueing that decision as well, right? I mean, I know we talked about it when we were
actually, they are currently jerking themselves to completion over Jeremy fucking Swayman.
Well, I mean, I feel like Boston, even though the fans have been hating on Tuukka, Boston has kept a quietly elite goalie core since Tim Thomas.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
That's very accurate. Yep. Like,
I mean, it's been Tuukka Rask. I didn't even know he was there.
Yeah, it's been Tuukka Rask. There were a couple of failed backup experiments. We had Jonas Gustafsson. He's a former Leaf, so fuck that guy. and then we had Nicholas Svedberg, who was some jobber that we got out of the Swedish league, who bombed out for us. But ever since then, we had Chad Johnson. We had we've had Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah.
And now Halak has been demoted to our third string goaltender. How about that?
Yeah,
that is interesting. Odd. That is, yeah. Halak has a very special place and infamous place, maybe, in Caps fans.
For two reasons, not just one.
Exactly. Yeah, and then we picked him up, right? So he destroyed us in the Montreal series when we had all the chips in our favor. I mean, mm-hmm. the young guns were absolutely on fire that season. And then Halak just comes down and single-handedly shits all over us. It was
at least he did send the Penguins packing in their last ever game in the igloo.
He did, yeah. Fuck them. That's amazing.
The Mellon Arena. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good segue. Speaking of Penguins, I know that you want to throw some jabs here. We're happy that you went 1-1. I would love it if you went 2-0, because I think that you can. I think the Bruins can against the Penguins, but they played a really good game. I was listening to the game while at the driving range there, so definitely saw that. I mean, the Penguins were, you know, up your, you know, on your shit the whole game.
Yeah. That was a one-shot game, and that was incredibly frustrating because we – that was a you're talking about the first game of the series. That was a very
the 1-0.
Yep, that was a very tight. That it felt like playoff hockey. It felt like one of those playoff games that's a total slog, but no penalties. But
thanks NHL.
Yeah, right. There were no penalties, and to Pittsburgh's credit, beat us on a clean shot, beat Swayman on a clean shot, top shelf, 1-0. But the second game was more indicative of how the Bruins can play the Penguins.
Yeah.
On their shit and then knocking them down on their shit. And then using Taylor Hall and David Krejci to piss on the ashes.
Speaking of which is, and I'm going to blow the lead here for you because I don't want you to have it, but that's something that we couldn't do. I mean, penetrate the middle, get scoring chances from, you know, home plate area in between the faceoff dots, maybe even high slot action, you know, the Caps could not do that. And when they did, Jari came up big, especially in this last blowout 3-0, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think that the OT loss is a loss 5-on-5. I think that after scoring the late third period goal by St. Thomas, we end up closing that one out. Yeah, St. Thomas. St. Thomas. Yes.
Oh my God.
Patron saint.
So you
shout out to Slapshot Sweethearts for promptly shitting on the Tom Wilson burger.
Yeah. Did you like my reply there?
I didn't see yours.
Oh, yeah. I think you said something about the sauce, some kind of cheap shot thing with the sauce. And I said, oh, you mean actually...
Yeah, it gets closed down. It gets cited by the Board of Health 12 times, but it never actually closes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I came back with, oh, you mean the most versatile sauce there is? Yeah. But so
hey man, one man's shit stain is another man's fucking racing stripe. Yeah. I guess. Like
well, so you mentioned his name. Are you pretty happy mm-hmm. with Taylor Hall?
Really?
Yeah.
You're pumped.
We okay. All right, I'm going to issue a mea culpa here.
Because you were a naysayer. You were very skeptical.
I absolutely was. But I will qualify that by saying I was a naysayer for the fact that the NHL loves names. And I was against the seemingly prohibitive cost of grabbing a name like Taylor Hall.
Fair.
Second round pick. And a spare part for Taylor Hall and somebody who has solidified our fourth line in Curtis Lazar.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That was a good one.
Kevin Adams needed to be fired. Like, we had a Sabres guest on the short shift a couple weeks ago. And when the Taylor Hall trade hit, he said the first thing that he thought of was the fact that 8 months prior, Kevin Adams was managing a boutique rink across the way from First Nations Bank Arena. And not only did Terry Bagula hire him, he hired him with a skeleton staff of 3 scouts and no assistant GM.
Well,
amazing.
Just to bring you back down to earth a bit. Taylor Hall is a bona fide rental. He's a bona fide rental, right?
Yeah. No, so, absolutely. He is a UFA next year, and there's going to be other suitors. But David Krejci has become revitalized ever since Taylor Hall has come on.
Sure.
And I think that Taylor Hall is now on his 5th team, which, holy shit, for a number one pick in the NHL draft, being on your 5th team is something else, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
So, and he's got 9 points in 11 games, and he's looked, I think it's 10 points in the last 11 games.
Oh, wow.
And he's looked damn good doing it. So I was a naysayer, but for the robbery that Don Sweeney pulled, and for the fact that he has, it's almost like we also acquired a bona fide second line center.
Right.
Again.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
Krejci has been absolutely phenomenal. And also this is also in conjunction with getting Taylor Hall on your left and Bruce Cassidy finally putting Craig Smith on the right permanently.
I mean, I've always liked Krejci, so.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I love David Krejci.
Yeah.
We actually had a debate of whether or not he's going to be put in the rafters, and put in the rafters in TD Garden, and there's still debate on that.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
I think that him and Marchand and Bergeron, I mean, that's who I think of as when the Boston Bruins come to town.
Definitely. Definitely. Those are locks.
Yeah. Polly, what were you saying?
So I guess my question's already answered, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You said words like a bargain and spare parts. So you're not upset at all. I know you got the better end of the deal, losing my former Irish player, Bjork.
He was very well liked here. But he never quite lived up to his potential here.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't drafted to be a fourth line guy.
No, he wasn't. He was a fifth round pick, to be fair.
Yeah.
Fifth round picks are when you get into the true lottery tickets in the draft.
Yeah. But in college, I think he
he exploded.
Yeah,
so we were expecting more.
I think he was a Hobie Baker finalist.
He was, absolutely. I remember. I think he was like a goal per game his senior year.
Yeah,
I want to say he was very, very good.
Yeah,
but he came in. And his first game as a Bruin, he's stuck on the they put him on the top line. This is a pre-Pasternak. Claude Julien put him on the top line with Marchand and Bergeron, and he scored a goal. And I think when that happened, Bruins fans kind of went, "Oh,
yeah."
Right. But he tore his shoulder twice. And when he came back, he was never quite the same. He shies away at contact, at the slightest bit of contact. He's a very soft player. He is got tremendous speed, and he is an outstanding penalty killer. We already have about 12 of those.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
you know,
he became a spare part.
It kind of sucked. That Cassidy benched him. I think it was Cassidy at the time when they played the Winter Classic at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
he was a scratch for that game, but
was Cassidy.
He wasn't playing well at the time. I do know that.
Right, they scratched him for that because he was being outplayed by Joachim Nordstrom. That should probably tell you something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. What's the outlook? What's the outlook for the Boston Bruins going into the playoffs? Looks like right now you're matched up against the Pens, and I think that is the worst matchup for the Penguins going in. To be completely honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm of two minds of that. I'd rather play the Caps.
What?
I would rather play the Caps.
Why, you want bounced first round?
we played them close and we played them well all year.
You have.
So I think in a 7-game series, I think the Bruins could take the Caps. But.
Oh, fuck.
But.
You want the Caps? Okay. We'll let you finish before I shit on you.
But. I'm looking at my chops at Tristan Jarry.
Really?
So that's why I said I'm of two minds of this.
Fair. I mean, here's the thing. He played possessed in the last game. We weren't doing great. I mean, we weren't doing great to get him a lot of work. And the Penguins do such a good job of cutting down all of the passing lanes. But holy fuck. I mean, he was on fire, standing on his head.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's still a fraud.
Well, wait. So are you do you think Murray would have been a better choice for the Penguins? I mean, no, we're going back in time right now, but.
Douche or a shit sandwich. Take your pick, man. Like, fair enough. Okay. Matt Murray, I think, had sort of an extenuating circumstance. Matt Murray was going through some shit in Pittsburgh. And I think if you want some fuel to shit on the Pens, I think they dumped Matt Murray in the exact time would probably be the worst for him.
Right.
You know, his father had just died. He had just entered rehab for alcoholism. Like, and Rutherford was like, deuces.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Penguins up and down are the most classless organization in all of sports, I'd say. So I really, that really doesn't surprise me. You know, their town's shit. They're fucking, you know, everything about Pittsburgh and the Penguins is if they didn't win, they'd probably have folded by now. And I think that
I don't think they would have folded. I think they'd be in Kansas City.
Mm. Yeah.
Or Quebec.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the fact that they got to win cups to stay relevant, and then you've got fan bases who have gone since 1974 until 2018 and stayed loyal just kind of shows you the difference of people there.
Yeah.
Man, you pointed that right. Right. Direct. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a story that I think I saw either on Twitter or something, and I don't know if it's true or not, but a writer was sitting down.
Twitter is so grain of salt.
Right. But it sounded very on brand for Pittsburgh water trash. And It was Matt Murray was sitting down with a reporter who was doing an expose on him. Kid comes up super psyched to see Matt Murray. Like, holy shit. This is, I think, after they had just won the back-to-back as well. So I'm guessing this is in the 2018-ish era. And Kid's pumped. Murray's gracious with his time. Takes a picture. Signs some stuff for the kid. Dad comes over. Shakes his hand and says, I think you're doing a good job, but you'll never be Flurry. Like, I'm just looking at who that dad was. He's probably just a fat fucking water trash yinzer wearing a fucking Steelers jersey who was just like, who said that to him. And I'm like,
and the one that was urinating tree.
And I was like, who the fuck are you? Like, who the fuck are you to come up to a player who just
and this won is, this you is back to back cups? Matt Murray was at his lowest point.
Yeah, well, just back to back. Fuck the personal shit. Back to back cups. I mean, at this point, right. Matt Murray had already, you know, solidified himself as like a NHL goalie who's found success.
Solid starter. Yep.
Yeah. And let's just. What the fuck goes through these fucking people's minds, dude? I mean, unbelievable. Just classless water trash, like I said.
Yeah. It's just, it's so if there right now we're poised to play the water trash, the Pittsburgh water trash birds.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of moving that could be done because you, me, Pittsburgh and the Islanders are locked into this like weird sort of, we're 5 points back of the Pens with a game in hand. We're 3 points back of you with two games in hand, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these matchups are far from set in stone and we are about 9 days from the last day of the season.
Right. I mean,
it's going to be wild.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I mean, the competitiveness of the division is crazy. And plus the Rangers, who we have had bad luck against, play us twice in the last nine days. So who the fuck knows?
I actually feel bad for them. My co-host, the Shore Chef Thomas, is an ardent anti-New Yorker, so shout out to him.
Yeah,
love that guy. But if the New York Rangers, with the talent that they have, if the New York Rangers had a head coach that had a pulse, they'd be along with us right now.
I think that all Rangers fans are probably thinking that same thing. I mean, you know, you've got Zibanejad, who is maybe on a little bit of a slump, but has easily broken out of that. I mean, the dude's got like a billion goals in the past three games. I mean, past 3 weeks, it seems. And, you know, I mean, I think that they, if I'm Detroit right now, I'm Steve Yzerman modeling my moves after what the Rangers have done.
They've done their rebuild almost perfectly.
Yeah.
Got to get a coach.
Right. But, you know, when you're rebuilding, you hire some shit bum who you don't have to pay peanuts, who's good at development, right? You hire this guy who can develop.
He's not even good at that.
Right. Well, they got half the package. Yeah, right. The shit bum.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, we'll see. Yeah. You know, you grab this guy and then when you're ready to make a push, you bring in somebody, you know, like a
Gallant. Gerard Gallant. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, exactly. Even a fucking Babcock or something. I mean, I don't know.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Could you imagine Mike Babcock coaching the New York Rangers?
I'll tell you what.
Well, I mean, they went with Tortorella, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he's about to be fired from Columbus.
We'll see. Their rebuild's gone very, very well, almost flawlessly, and it's impressive to see. I mean, the Rangers kind of scare me, I'll be honest. The Rangers and the Penguins in the playoffs are just, not to say that like the Caps aren't a better team. It's just, will they show it? You know, and that's a big, That's a big thing, I think, that differs between our two clubs here, Andrew, is that the Bruins, you know what you're going to get night in and night out. So I will give you that they're consistently a defensively good structured team and have their core that, you know, ebbs and flows, but at the same time, they'll make up for any lack of scoring and solid, solid defensive play. Mm-hmm. And with the Caps, it could be a literal fucking Jerry's Kids, convention or world beaters. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? Yeah. And that's why being a Capitals fan is so fucking frustrating, because mm-hmm. you've seen this team go out and absolutely destroy the Boston Bruins 8-1. And then mm-hmm. we go in and lay an egg against fucking Pittsburgh. So
I think what's going to make this playoff so fucking frustrating in the sense that the way that the divisions are set up, mm-hmm. I think all four of these teams are capable of doing it.
Oh yeah.
And one of them is going to go out in the first round.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
I mean,
or two of them, excuse me.
Right. Right. And I see the Islanders, I think right now, after our display last week, are probably the Caps' best matchup. Plus, mm-hmm. the Caps want a little bit of redemption from being swept out of the playoffs when under Reardon.
I was going to say they didn't sweep the Caps. They didn't sweep the Caps. They swept Todd Reardon. Reardon was over his head.
Yeah, we agree.
He was over, and Barry Trotz saw Todd Reardon across from him and was like,
"I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. All of your success is because of me."
Yep, exactly. Let me be perfectly clear. You are my bitch.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, Barry Trotz knows the team inside and out and mm-hmm. back and forth. So it'll be interesting to see that. But like you said, man, a 7-game series changes the entire landscape. Yeah, we've played 8 games against these teams, but mm-hmm. holy shit, that just makes it more tight. Because the players on the ice know the tricks, and the coaching staff knows the tricks. The players mm-hmm. on the ice have fallen to the pitfalls that the other team's successful at, and so do the coaches. The coaches know as well. So,
yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if both East series, whatever they are, go 7 games.
Yeah, and I would love it, but I'm probably going to lose. It's like, you know how they say, like, when you smoke a cigarette, it's like 2 minutes off your life. Every time mm-hmm. I watch a Caps playoff game, it's like 5. Might as well just be smoking cigs.
Do the Family Guy bit. Here's a whole carton of cigarettes. Yeah. Caps games.
Right, exactly. Who wants to live forever anyways?
Yeah, right.
But well,
since we're talking playoffs, do you mm-hmm. have a cup prediction? Who's in it? Who wins?
Oh boy, you put me right on the spot there, Pauly.
Oh yeah, that's what I do.
I like it. So, Colorado is a team that I'm really interested in. I think they are one of the most well put together teams in the league.
Yeah.
I think they definitely could come out. Carolina's looked great, which kills me yeah. to say. Vegas is a wagon. Like, Toronto exists, you know?
Right.
They're going to probably be in the Final Four by virtue of the fact that one team from the fucking North has to be.
Right, right.
So, I don't... I think the teams that are really coming out to me are Carolina and Colorado. And I think let me do this. Let me predict the 4 teams that come out of the divisions.
All right.
And we'll go from there.
You're on record.
Yep. So Toronto's going to come out of the North. Okay. I think that's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avalanche are going to come out of the West. I really like Vegas. I think Philip Grubauer is going to be like the hot goalie of the year, the hot goalie of the playoffs.
Yep.
Tampa Bay is going to be eliminated because the hockey gods are going to smite them for their cap fuckery. Because they'll get Nikita Kucherov out on the ice for no money.
Right.
Because fuck them. And I think it's going to be Carolina. What about Thomas, Florida? when you hear this, I'm sorry, man, but the old Whalers, I think the old Whalers are going to be in the Final Four.
And what about Florida? Because they're low key good too.
Florida's really good. Florida is really good, but I think that Florida has a lot of questions in one area, their goaltending.
Yeah.
What are you going to – I mean, is Spencer Knight ready to take the reins? Is Sergei Bobrovsky going to be worth that contract? Spoilers, no. is Chris Drager going to be starting? Like, who's going to play goal?
Right.
Legit. Yeah.
Fair.
So I really like Florida. I love the job that Q's doing, and I think he may be coach of the year this year.
Oh yeah.
But
I would see it.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I don't think that.
All right.
I don't think, yeah, so.
And then what's the finals matchup then?
I didn't do an East prediction.
Oh yeah, Bruins. Wait, yeah, who's the East? Yeah, my bad.
Bruins.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
I think I got to do at least one homer pick.
Fair enough.
My homer pick is the Bruins. If I'm being objective, I don't see Pittsburgh. I can't bet against Barry Trotz. Oof. And you guys' goaltending is a huge question mark to me. So maybe my objective pick is Boston too.
Oh, hey. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you get healthy, you know. And
yeah, especially if we get healthy. That's gonna be the huge key. As for a cup final, I'm gonna go Carolina, Chicago. Carolina, Colorado.
So based on your four winners, I think it would be a Toronto-Boston conference final.
Is that how are they going to reseed it?
I think it's just where you finish in the league standings.
Yeah, yeah. So
oh my god, if it ends up being a Toronto-Boston conference final, Boston will burn, and Toronto will burn because Boston is going to eliminate them again. If that ends up being the reseeding, then fuck Boston in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And Toronto would likely have home ice advantage there. Because they have so many points, right? I mean, they're
I gotta look at that because is there a tiebreaker involved?
It reseeds until the finals or the conference finals,
right? Okay,
From what I remember,
yeah. Because the conference finals aren't true conference finals. It's going to be of the four remaining teams, one versus four, two versus three.
Oh shit. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow. So in mine, it's going to be Carolina versus Colorado and then Toronto versus Boston.
Yeah. And I think
what a fucking match. That would be insane to watch.
Yeah.
That is
Toronto Boston would be fucking insane. And Carolina Colorado would be entertaining as hell.
Toronto would probably have to play in Buffalo. They're thinking they might not be able to play outside of Canada.
Right, because COVID.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Buffalo. Man, I can't wait for the excuses if Boston beats them in that scenario. we had to play in fucking Buffalo.
Yeah.
Fucking deliver me. how you feel. Okay. All right. I know I'm a Bruins fan. I know I'm supposed to hate the Habs. I don't really hate the Habs. I never have. I actually kind of respect them in a way.
Okay.
How hockey trolling, how you feel about the Penguins is how I feel about the Maple Leafs.
Oh, that is a lot of, that is a lot of impotent rage. I'll tell you that.
It oh no, it is not impotent, my friend. It is fully erect.
Holy fuck. I love it.
It is fully fucking erect. Like nothing gave me greater joy than, well, other than when we won the cup in 2011, yeah. Nothing gave me greater joy than watching Jake DeBrusk skate down the left wing and just steal Jake Gardner's soul out of his body in game 7 in 2018, where he just goes coast to coast and then just bullies both Gardner and Frederik Andersen and gets the game winning goal.
Oh, yeah.
I went insane. That was my lifeblood.
And so, wait, what has dimmed this hatred for Toronto?
Toronto fans.
Okay,
fair.
All right, well, enough said.
Toronto fans, they are the most, to a man and woman, the most delusional, the most undeservedly smug. I mean, hockey trolling, you're in defense of the Penguins. I'm sorry. At least won a couple of cups.
That's true. You're right. Exactly.
Toronto hasn't won a cup since there was six teams in the league. Mm-hmm. Toronto hasn't won. Toronto's series, last playoff series win, is old enough to get its driver's license. They still view themselves as some kind of epicenter and gatekeeper of the NHL, and God, like it permeates their fan base permeates that organization from the top down. Kyle Dubas is a smarmy prick. Fuck Mike Babcock. Sheldon Keefe is a throw pillow. You know, like. You keep trotting out the corpse of Joe Thornton like it means something. Wayne Simmons can't play anymore, but he can punch people in the face good. Let's stack him up and make him into some kind of folk hero. Like, enough! Enough. And the only reason that that Austin Matthews is anywhere near the Hart Trophy conversation right now is because that they've been feasting on the North Division, which has been weak as hell.
A total gong show, mm-hmm. for sure. Absolutely.
So, and just seeing it, just seeing Leaf fans just, you know, take the brandy sniffer, fart into it, and then sniff it for fucking 53 years for whatever reason.
It's all very accurate, and obviously you've got this like this ammo just to like sitting there at any time. I think it's I relate because it's the same thing with the Penguins for me. I'll be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And with the Penguins, I can understand that. Because, you know, fuck them.
Right.
Just in general. Fuck them for Matt Cook ending Mark Savard's career prematurely.
Yeah.
Fuck them for basically holding the NHL hostage for the first pick in the draft. You can't tell me that didn't fucking happen.
Oh, yeah. And subsequent, you know, everything else. I mean, all of Sidney Crosby's cups in this era are a lie to me.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them for trumpeting Sidney Crosby as some kind of he is a generational talent. But mm-hmm. fuck them for elevating him as much as they did for when in the first maybe like 8 or 9 years of his career, he was nothing but a whiny piss baby.
That's true.
And yeah, that is true. Is what the NHL hung its hat on.
Right. Oh man, this is like the last 5 minutes of hate, like from 1984, that fucking novel there. Yeah, we're just a dystopian future at this point.
Everybody's standing up, yelling at the movie screen. Yeah.
hey man, if the Bruins beat the Maple Leafs in the conference final, all technological advancements will be able to go forth.
Yeah.
We will live in a utopia because Toronto will burn.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, dude, I think that's it. Paulie, do you have anything?
Well, just want to acknowledge my man, Tank, chirping us, asking us about our weekend. The weekend sucked, losing to the Penguins twice. So thanks for that, Tank, I guess.
Yeah. Eat shit, Tank.
It's Caps chirp, so I guess we get chirped as well.
Fair enough.
But when it comes to Andrew, no, I think you answered everything I had to ask.
And beyond, yeah.
And beyond, yeah.
I gave you more material than you fucking needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good Toronto rant, which is somewhat a breath of fresh air, to be completely honest, because we're always on here shitting on the Penguins and other assorted teams. But
man, yeah. I fucking miss playing Toronto.
Yeah, I hear you. That yeah. I mean, that's a good matchup.
Yeah. And on the pod this past weekend, we talk about what we want to see out of divisional realignment going forward. And I want to go back to basics, and I just want to play Montreal. I want to play Toronto. I want to play a Western Conference team a couple times a year. Like,
actually, so this gives me a new question. Would you say that Montreal and Toronto are Boston's biggest rivals?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think the Caps are creeping up a little bit. Because it's for the last few years, it's always been and I know Braden Holtby was we were getting sunned by that boy for a year,
right?
But there was always a close game, and it was always a great game. And then Chara going to the Caps. And then every game this year, every game between the Caps and the Bruins this year being contentious for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. I promised myself I wouldn't bring up the Tom Wilson hit on Brandon Carlo. Whoops.
But, you know, if for some reason the NHL does put them back in the same division, it will really heighten the growing rivalry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I thought that this was an incredibly entertaining season. I mean, just it's brand new. It's kind of a curveball. I thought the NHL did a good job of managing COVID and all of the stipulations. So at least we're watching hockey, boys. I mean, could be completely honest. Like,
you know. Yeah, exactly. And at least now it seems like, I mean, knock on wood, it seems like we figured out the COVID situation with the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
The Vancouver Canucks would like to have a word, I'm sure, but...
Oh, yeah. Oof. Poor Vancouver.
Yeah, I know. But I'm glad it looks like we've been able to have this season.
Yeah. And it's been an entertaining one, and a mm-hmm. super competitive one, especially for our division. Namely our division.
Yeah. Division's been a dogfight.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so tight. But I guess with that, I mean... You know, why don't you take this time to plug away on Short Shift and everything else? Anything else you're doing?
Where do so we, find you? we just released an episode this weekend where we promised we didn't want to do a review of the Sabres game because frankly I laid down an edict soon after the episode started that I didn't want to hear about the fucking Buffalo Sabres ever again for this year. And Thomas agreed with me. So we went into the injury problems. We went into Brandon Carlo coming back. We went into the debate of whether or not David Krejci should get his number retired, playoff realignment, and a lot more. So you can find us on anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We are on Twitter at Short Shift Pod.
Awesome. Definitely check them out. It's a good, even keeled. Well, at times, most times, even keeled.
Until the Maple Leafs come up.
Right.
Man, the show is going to change once we start playing Toronto again.
But yeah, a lot of knowledge there and no Tuukka Rask hate, which is great. So, I love to see that.
Tuukka Rask is elite.
Absolutely. He is. Absolutely. He is. And anybody who says otherwise is off their fucking rocker. But hey, I guess with that, man, we'll cut it off here. Andrew, dude, thanks a lot for coming on. I'm glad that we could get you on and kind of pay back the guest spot. So we're even. We'll expect an invite to yours, especially if we end up meeting up in the playoffs. We're going to have to do another one for one.
You're already penciled into the round table, man.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yep. Good stuff. All right, man. Well, hey, you stay safe. Again, thanks a lot for coming on.
Take care, boys. Thanks for having me again.
Later, man. Caps fans, this is a Thursday episode, so it'll come out on Thursday if you're watching the live stream and getting a little bit of sneak peek. But again, thanks, Andrew, from the Short Shift Podcast, repping the Boston Bruins for coming on. Until next week, Caps fans, it's Hockey Troll, Poly Cupcakes, and Andrew signing off. Hey, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Troll Podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Poly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Poly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at Hockey Podnet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.